Well, good evening. I'm always somewhat amazed at how many people show up to study on a Friday or a Sunday afternoon, Friday afternoon too. But I know it's a short turnaround for you from worship this morning to probably lunch and not much time then, maybe a brief nap for some of you, some of us, and then right back here today. But I look forward to this so much, and I always think, you know, everybody says, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. So here it is, first session on Sunday. I look forward to this all year. I want to enjoy the moment because I'll be standing either, I guess, here on Wednesday night. Wednesday night I'll be in here, and I'll be saying, I can't believe the Sunday through Wednesday's passed. But that's how it comes and goes. And so I want to appreciate every opportunity to shake your hand and talk to you a little bit before or after. And I've already been able to do that, and so I just appreciate it so much. And so to Dr. Rummage, who ultimately would want to have me or I wouldn't be here, I express my appreciation for having me, and to Ray for the invitation. Where'd Ray go? Now I can't find Ray. Where'd you go, Ray? He went over there. He is. He's handing out. Ray, appreciation for the invitation. Thank you. And so this year it is the character of God in the Psalms. And so we're going to do an introduction to the Psalms tonight. In fact, if you want to look at the handout there, we'll just take a 30,000 foot view of things, kind of where we're going. So we're going to, I gave you quite a bit of notes on the introductory part because that's what we're going to do this first hour. There's lots I wanted to say about the Psalms, and I won't be able to say everything I'd like to, so I put more notes there because I wanted you to, that's the part of it that you might not have the opportunity to study. You can go read the Psalms, which I would recommend highly. But the background, some of the background information is the kind of information that it might not be so readily available to you, and I think it helps us think about the collection as 150 Psalms. So we're going to spend the first session doing that. So that'll be the first two pages. Then you go to page three. The title is The Character of God in the Psalms for the whole study. So if you look, I've got then a session marked off for one today. So the second session this afternoon will be the God who suffers for and with his people. So the sort of the question we're asking is, what do we learn about the character and the nature and the attributes of God from the Psalms? What makes the God that we worship, the God that we claim that we've come to know in Christ, what makes this God different from other so-called gods? What do we learn about this God from the Psalms, the songs and prayers of Israel's history? And so the first thing we're going to talk about is this God that we worship is a God who suffers for us and who also suffers with us. And we'll look at Psalm 22 primarily, a little bit of Psalm 23. Then tomorrow night, you see the bottom of page 3, Roman numeral 2, the goodness of God in the shadow of darkness. Well, excuse me. No, that's still today. Look to the next page, page 4. Roman numeral 2, the God who forgives. That's what we'll do tomorrow night. So we'll look at Psalm 32, Psalm 51. These are called penitential psalms. They're psalms of repentance. So we'll talk about, on the one hand, God's loving kindness, God's covenant faithfulness, and God's desire to forgive and the forgiveness that he offers us. So the God who forgives, that will be tomorrow night. Then Tuesday night, is that right? Yep. The God who can be trusted in the darkness, Roman numeral 3. We'll look at two psalms of lament. The majority of the psalms are lament psalms. There are more psalms where people are crying out in agony, sadness, frequently David, but not only David, crying out in pandemics and physical suffering and the loss of loved ones and all sorts of pain that you can imagine. You see the psalmist crying out, lamenting to God. So that will be Tuesday night, Psalm 39 and 137. And then Wednesday night, the back page, praising God for his faithfulness. This God that we worship is a God who's worthy to be worshiped. And so five psalms, we won't cover all of them in detail on Wednesday night. We'll probably cover two of them maybe in detail. So this is what we're going to learn from God from the psalms. So that's kind of the direction that we're going. So this first session is going to be an introduction to the psalms. So I'm going to ask a prayer over us, and then we will begin. Our Father, we are so grateful that you have gathered us together for this year, for this Bible study. I thank you for these, your people. I thank you for the way that they have welcomed me into their church, into their community of faith over the years, and for the blessing that they've been in my life. I pray that now the study that I'm able to do with them will in return be a blessing to them. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So let's talk about the Psalms just in a general way, about the collection itself and what we might learn about the individual Psalms as we look at the Psalms as a whole. So here's my introduction. The Book of Psalms is a collection of 150 poems, songs, and prayers that comes from the life of Israel. It's in some ways, it's Israel's songbook. It covers a period of about 600 years at least. If you start with the life of David, and 73 of the Psalms are attributed to David, so that's a good place to start when you're thinking about, what period in Israel's life do the Psalms cover? So if you start with David, David's reign is like 1010 BC through 970 or something like that, about a 40-year reign. So let's just round that to 1,000, just to make math simple. So if you start with about 1,000, and you see David and his singing and his lamenting. Now, there's one song of Moses. There's a couple of songs of Solomon. And those certainly look back earlier. But for the most part, let's start with 1,000 BC. And then you have songs that run all the way through Israel's history from 1,000 BC through being carried away into captivity, through being attacked by oppressors, and finally returning to the land after the Babylonian captivity and rebuilding their temple. So the Psalms begin before there's a temple, through the time of Solomon and the rebuilding of and the building of the temple originally. It's being torn down by the Babylonians. They're returning to the land, rebuilding the temple. All this period is being covered in the Psalms, in the songs of Israel. And they rebuild the temple in 515 BC. So if you want to think from 1000 BC, David's rule, through to the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonians had destroyed it in 515 BC. And then there are songs even after that. So we cover past 515 BC. So we've got about 600 years of Israel's experiences recorded through these psalms, songs, and prayers. 73 of them are attributed to David. Now, if you look at your psalm book, your Bible, and you start looking at the psalms, you're going to see titles. And sometimes it'll have words, they're musical terms, Israelite musical terminology that we don't fully understand what all these words meant, like amaskel or selah. There's these kinds of musical terms that we're not 100% sure what some of those mean. But more importantly, you see like a psalm of David. So you see David's name over 73 of the Psalms. Those are titles, superscriptions, that were added later than the actual psalm. David didn't write a psalm and at the top put a psalm of me. So I don't see the titles bearing the same inspiration as the psalms themselves. However, I rarely find any reason, in fact, I don't find any reason in any of the psalms to question whether or not the title accurately reflects whether it's a psalm of David or not. So I'm generally going to go with the title. And so if it says a Psalm of David, I'm going to think about what might have been happening in David's life that we know of that might have given rise to this kind of psalm, whether it's joy, praise, thanksgiving, or lament. So 73 of these psalms are attributed to David. He's referred to at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 23, as the sweet psalmist or singer of Israel. You know, he plays a harp or a lyre. It makes sense that he would be the person most responsible for contributing psalms. But there are other psalms. In fact, there are psalms attributed to Asaph, who is a Levite. He's a musician in David's court, and he has 12 psalms attributed to Asaph. There are 11 psalms attributed to the sons of Korah. Now, if you're just reading along, maybe reading your Bible through in a year, or maybe just want to read some psalms, maybe just flip your Bible open and there's a psalm and at the top it says Songs of Korah. You probably think, well, I bet Korah was a great musician in, you know, David's court or Solomon's court or something, and probably a wonderful man. No, he wasn't. He's infamous. In fact, if you look in Numbers chapter 16, Korah challenged Moses and Aaron's leadership. And as a result of that, and he had about 250 people with him. As a result of that, it's a long and winding tale, but you can read Numbers 16 and see it. The ground opens up and swallows them. He and his whole household. But apparently, some of his household survived because the sons of Korah. There are no songs of Korah. It's the sons of Korah. That are attributed to with 11 of these songs. So that's interesting. So obviously, musical family. And he was a Levite as well. And so the sons of Korah, who were in some way worship leaders, are attributed 11 of the psalms. Then there's a couple of other odd ones, like the two Ezraites are attributed two other psalms. Which I'm not even going to worry about. One Moses and two Solomon. So if you're doing your math, how many has he mentioned? That leaves us with about 49 that are anonymous, that have no attribution of who the author might be. So in most cases, we're in a little bit of the dark about what was the situation that gave rise to that particular song. So what do these psalms do? They reflect the gamut of life experience. And as you know, you think about that period I just named between David and the rebuilding of the temple and beyond, so into the 4th century BC. You think about that experience of Israel and the experiences they had through that period of time. I mean, it's a lot of lamenting, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of joy, and a lot of thanksgiving. And what the Psalms do for us is reflect the broad sweep of all of our life experiences. And so although we might open there, you might not even notice the title above it, you really don't have to. And if you just start reading the Psalms, you're going to find experiences recounted there that resonate with the experiences you might be having at any given time. And if you think about all that Israel went through in that, through the Assyrian invasion of the northern kingdom, the Babylonian invasion of the southern kingdom in 586, carried away into captivity for roughly 70 years, finally able to return back to their homeland, able to rebuild their temple, but life is still hard. I mean, they go through so much. Think about the reign of David and all the ups and downs. I mean, Israel's greatest king, right? I mean, if you're ranking Israel's kings, you know, we rank presidents, who's the greatest president. Well, if you were ranking Israel's greatest kings, David's got to be, you know, right there at the top. And yet, his administration was marked by adultery, murder, deception. And as he endured these moments, the nation endured those moments. At times, not only did he let God down, he let his people down, the people of Israel. So you go through these experiences in life of ups and downs, highs and lows, suffering, joy. And that's precisely what we find in the Psalms, the full gamut of human experience. Don't we like to say the Bible is a book for all our lives? Well, if it's going to be that, then it has to reflect the full experiences of our lives. And it does. We get the full gamut of human experience in the Psalms. So we're going to hear psalms of praise and thanksgiving. We're going to hear laments. We're going to hear individual laments where the person says, nobody loves me except my mother, and she might be jiving me too. Now, that's a B.B. King song, but it's a beautiful blues. I'm going to refer to singing the blues, but yeah, how about that? Nobody loves me except but my mother, and she might be jiving me too. I think that reflects pretty well the sort of the lamenting, the kinds of lows that you're going to hear in the Psalms. And then, on the other hand, you can just have some of the highest moments of praise and thanksgiving to God, where God has delivered someone out of their horrible situation, or just a recognition that God is the creator of all things, so let everything in the sky and let everything on earth give praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we can go from, I feel like a worm, subhuman, and I don't have any friends, and my enemies are about to get me, all the way up to, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now that's a book for our lives, because that's the way our lives go. Even those who feel the most blessed in life, who may have somehow avoided a lot of the turmoil and sickness in their family, even those families will experience suffering and death and pain. And so the Psalms is a book for our lives because it reflects the full experience, the full gamut of human experience. So, you might know this, but it's the most read portion of the Old Testament. The Psalms are the most popular portion of the Old Testament, particularly among Christians.